Welcome to the Church Investment Update. Church Investment exists to equip church members with opportunities and resources from a biblical worldview to better invest in the local church. Healthy church members produce healthy churches, and healthy church members invest in the local church. More can be discovered in our website, fbcjonesboro.net. I'm Trey Etheridge.
I'm Brian McAllister.
So thank you so much for joining us for this update. Well, good morning, brother.
Good morning.
It is great to be back with you off of vacation
for
myself and family.
A little vacation. Y'all had fun?
We did. Apparently, I came back with a little tan and a few church members said I was glowing, Sunday morning, especially from on top of my head. So
Was there a need for a veil?
There was probably a need for a veil, especially on camera. I was told I was a little bright, so I might want to bring a little concealer or something.
The real question is, did the kids and Jessica have fun?
The kids and my wife had a great time.
I hear there was a little spin cycle going on in the ocean.
Yeah, there may have been. I can neither confirm nor deny that because it has to do with my wife, and I'm not going down that road, brother. Not a bit. But
there's no video footage.
Let's just say, as we'll talk about in just a minute, how the spirit wars with the flesh.
Yes.
For a moment, I found my flesh warring with the spirit of whether or not to record this spin cycle that was happening. And fortunately, through the power of the Spirit, I persevered.
Oh,
and
good.
There is no video, there is rumors that there is.
There's rumors.
There is no video. Never was a video.
All that matters is y'all rested and had a good time.
It is. And so thankful. And you and I have talked about this for a church family, faith family that sees the need and the importance, recognizes the importance of a vacation and just a break for its staff.
Yeah.
And so we praise God for you guys as well, Faith Family. Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, let's jump right into it.
Okay.
Sermon recap from this past Sunday. And we actually missed a week, so maybe some spillover will occur of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, talking about this past Lord's Day, the purpose of spiritual gifts. What was the big idea in this? What was
the
theme?
The big idea is that, as we see, I think what Paul is wanting to convey to the church is that spiritual gifts, though many, as we looked at, as you look at in the verses before, that though many gifts with many ministries and many effects actually brings unity. So there's a diversity within the church, but Paul's idea here is that we have all the resources we need, and these resources can be used for the unity of the church and the edification of the church and for the common good.
Wonderful testimony, and the local church continues to be a testimony to the preservation of God that He provides for His people there within in the local church. So we have spiritual gifts bringing unity. We have a manifestation of the Spirit. What are spiritual gifts?
Well, they're talents. No, they're not talents. We talked about that in the sermon. They're not talents. They're not something that you're just born with physically. There actually has to be a spiritual birth. Yeah.
That's tough for us to overcome, though, isn't it?
Because
we have been told that throughout Christendom, and I think part of it is, again, it's that we always want to go to one side or the other, and yes, we want to fully recognize that human beings being created in the image of God and by God's grace bear certain talents and things, natural abilities that we are just enabled to do by God. But that is not a spiritual gift.
Yeah, because spiritual, spirit, according to Ephesians 2, we're dead in our sins.
Right.
So these gifts do not take place until after salvation. So they can't be talents. And not only that, a talent is something that an unbeliever can have and a believer. A spiritual gift is something that only the believer has, something that God gives. But it is a spiritual empowerment or a spiritual enablement that God gives individuals for them to carry out the work of the ministry within the local church.
Amen. Amen. Well, we talked, you mentioned three main points within the context of your sermon: responsibility, testimony, and edification. Now, this responsibility picks up on what you just said, is that they are for church members. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we, in the study of the word, we've been kind of taught to generalize the text, that this message within a certain book, for example, 1 Corinthians, that it's just for everybody.
It's for everybody.
And we forget that we must understand the context, that it was written for a specific audience, for a specific purpose, at a specific time. And so first and foremost, it's written to the church at Corinth.
Yes.
And it's written to believers.
Yeah, he says in verse 1, you know, remember we have to put this context. So he says back in verse 1, now concerning spirituals, brethren. Brethren, that's not everybody. You can't generalize. It is specifically, he's writing specifically to a local church and to the church members, and only Christians can be members. So here you find that when we talk about responsibility, when we look at the purpose, and really you can go to verse 7 where he says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And you see the responsibility, but to each one. For the common good. So these gifts are given for this to every church member. Yeah. So we want to look at spiritual gifts as though we're just recipients. Again, it kind of goes back to that talent thing. We have something that God has given us. It's a gift. We are recipients of this. Man, praise the Lord that he gave that to me. Praise the Lord for this spiritual enablement, you know, and we're just thankful for that we have that. But you're not just a recipient. You are an agent. You are an agent with it for the purpose that God has for your church and the will.
Which places an expectation mm-hmm. on you as a
yep.
professing church member, as a professing Christian, aligning and covenanting yourself with this faith family. There's an expectation there that you're going to seek out that gift and then utilize the gift
yeah.
for the faith family.
You are responsible, every member. There's no one who is not responsible within the local church for the work of the local church and the functioning and the unity of the local church. Yeah. So we all have a responsibility there.
I was reading something, an article just yesterday, probably we'll talk more about it in the future, but the author says membership equals discipleship. A member is a disciple.
Yes.
There it equates. And so we say, well, who are we a disciple of? We are disciples of Christ. So what was the conclusion? We are membered to Christ.
Yes.
As a church member.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So Matthew 25:15, parable of the talents. You mentioned that.
Well, if you go back and you hear the parable that Jesus gives, it's quite interesting when you think about it, because you know, they were not all given the same talent, same amount. They're different, but the responsibility was on each one.
Yeah.
So where one person may have the responsibility or the spiritual gift of prophecy or preaching or teaching, another person the gift of mercy, and another person the gift of encouragement, at the end of the day, no matter what gift you've been given, there was a responsibility on each one. But there was also judgment on the one who did not take his responsibility seriously. There was an expectation that when the master returned, he wanted to see the increase from that which he had given.
But I just had one talent.
Yeah,
I just had one. My neighbor had five over there. I mean,
it's
not fair.
Well, and Paul gets into that into the next part of the text. And well, I'm just a foot. I'm not a hand.
Right.
No one cares what I do. You know, I'm just a nose. I'm not an eye. And who am I? But at the end of the day, we see that each member of the body has a responsibility, and not only just has a responsibility and expectation, but there's worth in your gift.
Mm.
And if you remove yourself from that, you hurt the body, and you hurt the local church, let alone you displease the master.
And which is where the worth of mm-hmm. it comes from. It's a supernatural enablement there given by God.
Yes.
And we forget that. We yeah. forget that when we begin comparing the efficacy or the visible expression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, people see your gift every Sunday, Brian. They don't see my gift.
Yeah.
You know, and so there can be some issues.
And how unfair is that too, by the way?
Yeah.
Because we don't think of the up to flip that coin over.
Mm-hmm.
I see his gift every Sunday. His gift is preaching. So he just needs to be the one that takes the full responsibility.
Right.
And that's unfair to the hand. That's unfair to the other people within the church. And we say, we'll let them do it.
And to recognize that it's the fingers and toes and eyes and ears that actually assist and come alongside
yes.
you so that you may then express your gift.
Express your gift. And then over time, what happens when one member of the body takes on the majority of the responsibility? They burn out.
They burn out.
They burn out. Not only did they burn out, but that even then has a ripple effect that hurts the church. And we've seen this. I think you and I, we've talked about this. We never want our members to be to the point that they can't take a break.
Right.
You know, that they're so burnt out that they can't worship, that they can't enjoy right. what they're doing. And part of the reason they're burnt out is because they have no help. Because people look at them and go, well, your gift is this. You take all the workload. And I think we have to say this, too.
And you're going to do it for the rest of your life.
You do it for the rest of your life. You're enslaved to this. But you know, I think one thing that does need to be said, even though you have a spiritual gift, or take that back, even though you may not have a spiritual gift, that doesn't remove you from the responsibility of the work of the local church.
Yeah.
So I may not have the spiritual gift of encouragement. I may not be the best encourager, or I may not have the gift of mercy. But that doesn't resolve me or absolve me, if I'm wrong the word there, doesn't absolve me from not showing mercy.
Right.
I am to show mercy to other individuals. It may not come easy.
It doesn't excuse you from the command.
Mm. Yeah. And that's where I would say, praise God for the person who has the gift of mercy.
Mm.
Because if it's hard for me, we ain't going to get very, I mean, if it's not my gift, and I'm doing it, I'm not doing it well, and it's very hard, but you got those people who come along and they just make it so easy.
And you have an example mm-hmm. to look at. I'm not there, and I know that that's their gift, mm-hmm. but wow, I can look to their example, and they can help me
yes.
as well in that. So. Well, all right, well, testimony, what the purpose of these gifts?
Well, notice that he says the manifestation of the Spirit. And so manifestation is that the Greek word refers to revealing something that is hidden. So basically you're given evidence. And I think, you know, as we'll talk about in a moment, how do we discover our gift? Our gifts are going to be discovered because there is evidence of the gift. And so as we are working and doing, you're going to find evidence that certain gifts are given to people, that they become evident.
Yeah.
But not only that, I think it's evidence of our salvation. If you have an individual in the church who's not serving, who's not using their gift, they do nothing, you begin to wonder, where's the evidence of your joy in the Lord?
Right.
Where's the evidence of your willingness to serve the Lord, to follow Christ? And so we see that within the purpose, we are testifying of the work of Christ to not only save, but to also sanctify individuals.
Yeah, it's raising that bar of expectation, not based on legalism, but based on the promises of God. Mm-hmm. And if we think about it, just in terms of our sanctification, Jesus himself says, he says in Philippians, he who began a good work in you is faithful and just to complete it. When that takes a hold of you and you begin to say, okay, well, if Christ has saved me, if I make that profession mm-hmm. as a church member, that Christ has saved me, what am I saying? I'm saying that he's begun a work in me.
Yeah.
And if Christ is faithful and just and true, which he is because he's God, then he should be doing a work in me. I should be growing in my sanctification.
Wasn't it, and I think we talked about this the other night when we were looking at the book of James, you know, I think it was Martin Luther who said this. You know, justification is by faith alone, but our faith is never alone. In other words, there is a work that comes from that. And so it would make sense that if a spiritual gift begins in me, is given to me at the moment of my salvation, the moment my faith is placed into Christ and I am regenerated, you're going to begin to see that within me. Maybe not immediately. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next day, But within the weeks and months, and really years of my worship and my faithfulness to the Lord, that's going to begin to be expressed. You know, my faith is never going to be alone. You know, you're never going to be wondering, man, he says he's saved, but I don't see anything in him.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, and the last one, we get to edification, the purpose. And I love how you brought out the word prophet.
Mm-hmm.
P-R-O-F-I-T, not P-H-E-T, but that spiritual gifts profit spiritual growth. And I thought that was good because I thought it was another way to picture edification, mm-hmm. the building up of the body, that we, living in the world we live in today of TV, health, wealth, and prosperity junk, where it just points to being spiritual and being all about you.
Yeah.
And yet, Paul instructs us that this spiritual gift is not for you, but it is to be utilized to equip and to edify your faith family.
Yes.
They're for you.
And note, and he uses, I like how the, you see there, New American Standard, or, you know, how the translation that we have, our English translation of the common good. It is for the good of the whole body. It is for the good of the faith family. And so I am working for you. You are working for me. You know, we're working for those in our church as though they are benefiting us and we're benefiting them. We're all profiting from this. We're all gaining. And it is the picture of like a financial profit.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost an investment type where we are taking our spiritual gifts, we're bringing them to the table, we're laboring and working and we're giving what God has given us, and we receive in return a spiritual profit, you know, spiritual benefit, and so we always want to look at, and one of the things that I tried to point out, and I hope I did this well Sunday, a lot of times we think of spiritual growth and discipleship as from an individual standpoint. I just need to read my Bible more.
Yeah.
I need to read a book and get a devotion. You and I have talked about this. You know, mm-hmm. I was one who, I will admit that my sanctification really kind of hit a really good growth spurt through YouTube videos of guys like Bodie Bauckham and others, you know, John MacArthur. But it shouldn't have been that way. I shouldn't have to go find a video of someone to learn. There should be individuals within the church who are helping me. Now, I did profit from those guys,
mm-hmm.
but I think as Bodie says, narrative is not always normative. Just because something happened doesn't mean that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
The way it's supposed to be is there are men in that church who are helping me grow.
Who are willing to invest.
Who are investing in me, and I am investing in the church investment fund. Yeah, update. And so it really is benefiting you know, one another, and we do this alone. We fight our sins alone. We fight our temptations and our spiritual fatigue alone. We fight our family problems. We fight our fears alone. I mean, right. You think about what the world's going through right now, and so our church is no different. You know, we're having to go through this with the COVID stuff, and yet you think about the spiritual gift of faith. God has given our church individuals
mm-hmm.
who have that unyielding, unwavering faith of we need to trust in the Lord mm-hmm. and be steady. And so for a people who may, like me, who go to bed at night and may have a fear, that is encouraging and edifying of my spiritual walk.
And it's not overconfidence, mm-hmm. something of that nature. It's not pride, and we need to be careful not to look at it that way, but to... And you said to come alongside that one who has that spiritual mm-hmm. gift of faith, or just lean upon them. And that's so difficult for us to do, is to realize that God has equipped us to be together
mm-hmm.
as a faith family. And he's done so providentially. Every member is here providentially, not by accident. And he has gifted us. But yet, those gifts must be used on one another, which means I've got to allow you to use your gift on me and vice versa.
And that's,
I've got to open that door. I've got to open myself for that.
And that makes us vulnerable.
Yeah.
That deals with a pride thing.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, and I think we have to look past, I think this, we have to kind of look past also one another and realize it is a trusting in God. God has placed, as you said, God has providentially placed the members there. So I may look at you and go, well, who is Trey to encourage me?
Right.
Who is Trey to teach me? You know, or we may look at another church member and go, well, I'm more spiritual than them. I can't learn anything from them. Look at their experiences. And yet we're totally missing the fact that God providentially put them there to help me. And so therefore my problem is not with them. My problem is trusting God.
Because God has commanded us to trust,
yes,
in what he has designed.
Yes.
And of course, being full of sinners, it's not going to be perfect. But that doesn't give us excuse to abandon it.
No.
It actually shows that we do have an issue.
Which is exactly what happens in the next passage. Yes. We'll see this Sunday. People begin to abandon their responsibilities.
Love it. Good stuff, brother. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And so we're back in 1 Corinthians
chapter 12, and we're going to go from verse 12. I'm going to try to get it all in and finish out 12. There's a lot there, but I think it can be summed up in a full sermon.
Great.
So we're going to look at 12 to 31.
Looking forward to it this Lord's Day. Let's do something a little different here. We've got a few minutes left before we get to finish out with our announcements. We talked about maybe making some book recommendations,
yes,
to you guys, and this goes not only for our faith family, but anybody else who may be listening to this. And we do have a library here at the church that has kind of been revitalized, for lack of a better term. And it's almost complete.
Yes.
But beyond that, we also have a book table. And so as you enter into the sanctuary from the front door or even through the back foyer area, we have books that are laid out for you. And really, it's $5 a book or even a donation.
If you can't pay, then we understand.
And our faith family has been great to donate to that. And so we praise God for that. But we want to talk about just a few books. And brother, if you want to start. And
one of them, the one that I brought is Dr. Vody Bachman's Fault Lines. You know, I'm going to give him a little plug. He kind of took a hit on Twitter while you were on vacation. And so they were accusing him of some things. And so and here's what was amazing. He actually came online with Tom Askell and them.
Founders
and addressed the accusations. And he did say, I made a mistake on something. Now, he didn't commit a sin, but he did make a mistake, and he corrected that. So what a wonderful way of dealing with your accusations towards you. He came out publicly and dealt with it. But the book is a good book. And so with critical race theory, and we're seeing this even more we're seeing it in the school system. You're seeing school boards across the country, people coming out. I saw one this past week where a teacher resigned.
Did
you see that?
Loudoun County.
Yeah.
It's a mess up there.
Yeah, she resigned because she said, you know, she wasn't teaching it. And she was being persecuted, maybe the word, because of the color of her skin. And not to that, she even said because of her Christian faith, that there were some things. And so, you know, we're dealing with this, and I think Dr. Vody Bachman has written a book that will not only educate you on what critical race theory is, but he'll help you know how to handle it. And he weaves in his story as a man whose own ancestors were sold into slavery from Africa. He ends up in the United States of America, as he tells his testimony, being raised by a single Buddhist mother. God saves him and sanctifies him. He actually kind of is on the other side at one point. God brings him back over, and now he's in Africa, and he is ministering in the very land where his ancestors were sold in slavery.
Yeah. Leading a seminary,
and he is he has influenced many people, including my own life and yours. I mean, we've all been influenced by his teaching. So for the Fault Lines, I don't know if we have a few of these, I think. If not, we can get them for you. I would recommend this book highly.
Yeah. And I'm going to try to include some links on Amazon that you can click on as well at the bottom of this.
And I would even recommend one more. I didn't bring it today. Anything by J.C. Ryle.
You've become a great fan of J.C.
I am a fan of this guy who, Bishop of England. I'm about halfway through his book Old Paths, and it is so good. So if you're looking for a guy who is dead that you could trust, J.C. Ryle anything of his.
No one better to trust than dead guys, because they're done. They can't add to anything. Yes. They don't have time to apostatize.
There you go.
Well, I've got a few that I want to cover with you guys as well. Along the same line of critical race theory, Social Justice is a book by a good buddy of mine, Jeffrey Johnson, Dr. Jeffrey Johnson, Grace Bible Church in Conway, Arkansas. What Every Christian Needs to Know About Social Justice. And we do have a few copies of these as well. Mm-hmm. But this kind of gives probably a more technical layout than what Votes do. Votes is going to be more how we see it mm-hmm. in society for yeah. years and how it's manifested itself.
How it got here.
How it got here. Jeff's going to kind of cover a lot of the background.
With the difference too, it's more of a personal testimony too, of his own dealings with it and from an individual standpoint, it's a little bit of a narrative within Votes' yeah. book. Also, I would even plug in Jeff's seminary. His seminary has really it's getting a lot of publicity right now.
Grace Bible Theological Seminary.
Yes.
Yeah, GBTS. And we'll plug from there. We may be able to have Jeff on.
One day, that'd be good.
Get him to call in. Another book, and this is something that we like to give out to new believers, by John MacArthur, Only Jesus, Only Jesus. And so Jesus says, when he said, follow me, what did Jesus mean by that? Only Jesus by John MacArthur.
Anything by John MacArthur is gold.
Anything. One book that I've tried to encourage all church members to read, Faith Family Members, Church Membership by Jonathan Lehman. This will help you understand kind of the philosophy of church membership that we have here, and this is through Nine Marks. We've got a whole list of books of just Nine Marks topics of what it means to be a healthy church, what it involves in there. So make sure you grab one of those. We have a lot of these that we'd like to pass on to you. And then lastly, and I had to get a thick one. I want to get one of these and show everybody, but the Pilgrim's Progress. If you have not read the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, this is the second most long-running work outside of the Bible. John Bunyan, who writes this in prison in the late 1600s, gives an account from a dream that he has, but it's basically an allegory on the Christian life. And so if you want to see what it means to be drawn by the Spirit, converted by God, and then walking in the Spirit and all of the trials and temptations that one encounters along the way, get the Pilgrim's Progress. It's a great read. I would encourage you to read it once a year if you could. It never gets old.
Yeah.
Anything else, brother, as far as book recommendations?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about a few announcements here for our faith family. And just want to remind everybody, adult-wise, we are transitioning to a new Sunday school literature. We've been talking about raising the expectation. Our new Sunday school literature is going to lead us through some inductive Bible study. I think for this next quarter, we're going to be walking through the book of Ecclesiastes. And so you'll be hearing more about that. The literature ought to be in pretty soon. And when it does, we'll get it distributed out to you.
So throwing us into the deep end of the pool right away, huh?
Throwing you into the deep end of the pool. Life is a vapor. That's Ecclesiastes right there. Life is a vapor. Next thing, Crafty Cafe, September the 11th. Our association puts this on, and we're hosting it here at FBC and the Family Life Center. It's always a great time by the Associational WMU ladies.
And our ladies do a good job.
Yeah. It's an all-day affair, and they fill up the Family Life Center, and it's a great time.
The ladies of FBC Jonesboro do a phenomenal job, and just so thankful for for their legacy in WMU, for what they've done in the past, and how they encourage you and I and help us. And so this is just
And it raises a great deal of money for the association.
It does.
And what it is basically kind of like a huge craft fair.
Yeah.
A huge, I don't know if I use the word flea market, I might get in trouble about it.
No, yeah, it's more like a craft fair. It blew me away the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
It really did. I was like, what? Because, you were kind of thinking like a garage sale. Yeah. No. This is not our flea market. But when you show up, it is done well.
Yeah.
Done so well and so many good things.
So looking forward to that. And then on the 12th, September, Sunday, September the 12th, State of the Church Address.
Yes. Looking forward to that. Also, I just wrote down, we're going to be doing some recognition of of our retiring deacons.
Amen. Yeah.
Our deacon body has really taken upon themselves to reaffirm themselves as their service and to revitalize themselves from the inside out. And so, you know, we've had several guys who have been on the deacon body for so many years and who have served well. And so
40 plus, almost yeah, 50 years.
Well, we do have one that's been 50 years. Yeah. Yes.
Praise God.
And so, you know, those guys need to be appreciated and loved. This doesn't mean that they're not going to be serving. This doesn't mean they're not going to be faithful. But they recognized and they affirmed it themselves that, you know, that this is what the deacon body is doing is good. And so they felt like this was a time for them to retire on that end and so take on the title of Deacon Emeritus. And so I'm thankful for our deacon body. I'm giving praise for them.
Amen. Amen. Skip ahead real quick and then we'll end out with FBC Loves Jonesboro. Revival, October 24th through 27th with mm-hmm. Ed Lacey. Please put that on your calendar if you've not already done so and be praying towards the revival and God would move in a mighty way. Mm-hmm. And then also movie night, October the 9th. This is not just going to be for our faith family. This is going to be for community-wide. We're going to set up a big movie screen outside and hopefully the weather will be cooler. And it'll give us an opportunity to engage our community. With some evangelism, hopefully. And but if nothing else, building relationships
and be praying because you know we're living in a time where everything is written in pencil.
Right,
we have to write everything in pencil these days. So be praying. We want to do these things.
Amen. Lastly, Saturday, September the 18th. Speaking of our community, FBC Loves Jonesboro Day. Faith family, we need you on this. Sign-up sheets for your participation are going to be in the Sunday school classes this coming Sunday. Please sign up you and your family to participate because we are beginning to get some tasks and duties in, things to do, and it's kind of a plethora. It's kind of an all array from one end to the other of things that we can do for our community. So please sign up and be a part of this.
And this is one of those things where they can use both spiritual gifts and talents.
Spiritual gifts, talents, and physical labor, too.
Or if you say, I have nothing, you know, you, at least your willingness is
That's
very
right.
much welcome.
Come and be willing. Come and be willing. All right, brother, were anything else that you have today?
No, I'm good. Glad to be back with you. What a wonderful time. Yeah. Missed last week.
Yeah, this is good. Well, Faith family, we look forward to seeing you this coming Lord's Day. And for those of you who are listening who are not part of our Faith family, make sure that you are in a local church that preaches and teaches the Bible and preaches and teaches the whole counsel of the Word of God. All right, we love you, and God bless, and we'll see you this coming Lord's Day.